Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the gyps in the BC. It is Saturday, the 30th day of August, or the middle of November. Anno Domini 2025, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Here comes the news. This one, I got to be honest, this one makes me angry on about 200 levels.
There was a couple there.
Department of Government Efficiency whistleblower Charles Borges, who is the Social Security Administration's chief data officer, has revealed that DOGE employees uploaded a copy of an important Social Security database containing the full names, dates of birth, and addresses of hundreds of millions of Americans onto a cloud server, making the data vulnerable to leakers and hackers.
And we should be surprised why?
He said that DOGE refused to put independent security or oversight mechanisms in place, creating enormous vulnerabilities. Despite cybersecurity officials at the SSA expressing their concern, DOGE said that its mission was more important than the basic safety and security of American citizens' personal information. Let me repeat that in case you weren't paying attention or aren't outraged enough already. DOGE said that its mission was more important than the basic safety and security of American citizens' personal information.
And
let that sink in.
Their stated purpose was to reduce government spending and make the government more efficient. But we all know their real purpose was to stop all the legislation and lawsuits against Elon Musk.
Right. This is what happens when you put a bunch of young kids with no formal security training in charge. We talk all the time about the importance of keeping your data secure, using multi-factor authentication, and being wary of scams and social engineering, and then something like this happens. Frankly, it's discouraging. The White House has yet to comment. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is DOGE makes hacking your SSN easier, SSN being Social Security number. And your choices are, I trust our government, I'm a little wary of this, this is more than discouraging, and blankety blank, blank, blank. So far, we've got 26 votes, and not surprisingly, over half of them are blankety blank, blank, blank. You can vote in the poll. It's real easy. Just head on over to soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And you can vote there in the poll. And, of course, if you have more to say on this or any other topic, you can easily give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. I don't care what your political affiliation is, knowing that the government has put your Social Security information out on an unsecured server, which any jamoke on the internet can download.
And probably has.
Has got to make you angry. I don't care who you are. And if you are a systems administrator or a cybersecurity person, then even more so should you be angry, because these teenagers who are running DOGE have no sense of security. They don't care about it. They don't use it. They don't deal with it. And so we are in the position that, again, it doesn't matter how safe you think you are from scams, how much two-factor authentication you use, how secure you make your password manager, those data are just out there. They're just simply out there, and there's, I don't know what to tell you. It's out there.
And well, the crazy part is that almost nothing of what Doge found was waste.
Right.
And now that Elon has lost favor with the president, no one hears anything from Doge anymore.
Right, except they're still out there wreaking havoc, frankly.
Yeah.
I get it. You hire a bunch of 20-year-olds, and then there's the idea of move fast and break things. I get all that. But in this particular case, the fact that hundreds of millions of us have our names, our social security numbers, and our addresses in an unsecured database available to dang near anybody on the internet is a very, very bad idea.
Probably still, right? Even after it was found, have they secured it?
No, they have not. They have said that it doesn't matter. Their job is more important than your security. That's what they're saying.
Well, they can do their job if that database is secured.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. I don't know what their job is that it entails an unsecured database living out on the internet, but there we are. That's what we have. And if you're not outraged, I don't know what else to tell you. This transcends politics. This is cybersecurity stupidity, lack of cybersecurity. Stupidity is what it is, and it doesn't matter where you land on the political spectrum. This is a bad thing objectively, and it should make you angry.
I just listened to an interview, and I can't remember his name, where someone just wrote a huge white paper on the state of the U.S.'s offensive cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically zero.
Yeah, exactly.
And their stance was, we got to start doing some offensive stuff and stop relying on defense, because China, Russia, North Korea, everyone else is attacking us all the time, and you know, we're stuck defending. We need to start hiring some, you know, young security people to attack these other guys. And the counter argument has always been mutually assured destruction, that we don't want. We don't. So the Chinese have been in our telephone infrastructure for 30 years since a stupid law allowed anyone to get in, and so they could turn off all your phones.
Yep.
The only way to fix the problem is to turn off all your phones and replace every single computer used in the telephone industry.
Yep.
So that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. But the bad guys could, you know, turn off all our phones, and which includes all our internet services.
Yep.
So the only thing left is ham radio.
Yeah! There you go.
But how many hardwired repeaters are there?
I don't know. Well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you could still throw a wire up in the roof. The repeaters are mainly for, you know, the VHF and UHF. Mm-hmm. But if you go HF, which is high frequency, all it is a matter of throwing a wire up in the up into a tree.
Yeah.
Because
you did that.
I do it every weekend when I go out and do POTA. POTA is Parks on the Air. And basically what I'm doing is I go out to a park, I sit there with my radio, and it's a battery pack, and I take a wire, and it's not to get too technical, but it's a device for ham radio, and you just literally throw it 20 feet up into a tree, and I can talk around the world. Literally talk around the world, especially around the U.S. That's no biggie. I mean, to go out and do a park, minimum, you got to talk to at least 10 people. And on an average, I usually do 20 to 40 people.
Right.
Just within, you know, an hour or two.
Yeah, it's interesting listening to the security podcasts where every time they report on some government-sponsored breach into our systems, they always say, well, hope we're giving as good as we're getting, and apparently we're not.
We're not.
Yeah.
And, you know,
because we have the high moral road. We're not going to stoop to that.
You're right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I was never a full-fledged cybersecurity professional, but I was a systems administrator, and we locked down our systems. That's job one. Mm-hmm. That's job one. And these kids aren't doing it, and it just makes me angry. It's just, it insults me professionally.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Enough of that. My blood pressure's gone high enough. It's time to go to the phones. Our first caller is Ed from Ithaca, New York. You there, Ed?
I'm here. Take a deep breath and calm down.
Yeah, exactly. What's up?
I don't disagree with you.
You do?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
The possibilities of human stupidity and or ignorance never cease to amaze me. But anyway, let's see if I did something stupid. I have a MacBook Plus, MacBook Air, rather, and for some reason, I can no longer access my microphone. So I can't record anything using QuickTime. I can't do a Zoom session.
Right.
The internal mic is still plugged in, or says built in. I did also at one point download something called Black Hole 2CH, I think two channel, to try and record without the sound coming out of my speakers. But I don't know if that's what fouled things up or not.
It's probably a setting. So I use a different program similar to Black Hole so that I can grab my computer audio and feed it into the soundbite stream without having the speakers playing. And the first 5 minutes of every stream I'm doing, I'm trying to make sure I get the settings right so the right audio is going to the right place. There's two things I would say to start checking. In your system settings under sound, make sure the little VU meter, the input level meter, is bouncing so that it's hearing you talk. And if not, turn up the input volume.
And the input volume's all the way up. I'm in here now.
Okay, and is when you talk, is the input level bouncing up and down as you're talking?
Well, I'm not trying to record myself right now.
So doesn't matter. It will bounce up and down as long as you are talking.
Oh, no, it's not.
So what input device is selected?
Internal microphone.
Okay. It may be a permission issue, but I doubt it. You have to give permission to any program that wants to access your microphone, and you do that under privacy and security.
Huh.
But I'm pretty sure the system settings already have that permission.
Well, but he may have changed something.
Yeah.
Maybe inadvertently, but...
Yeah. So check the privacy and security setting to make sure that all the programs you want turned on to the microphone are turned on.
Is that under system preferences?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Well, hang on. Do you still have system preferences or do you have system settings?
System preferences.
All right. So you're running a very old OS. It's different in the old OSs. It may not have the permission setting. I think they added that around 12 or 13.
Well, this is a 2000. I'm running system version 14. It's a 2015 computer, which I've updated. I'm not sure my current OS is. I can tell you in a second.
Yeah, you can get that in the Apple menu.
It's Catalina.
So 10.15, yeah. So you're six versions out of date.
Mm-hmm.
Phone permission. You want to find something in there called permissions or privacy.
Okay.
Let me see if I can go back that far in the help menu. System preference, security and privacy. There it is. And in the new computer, it's privacy and security.
Yeah. Well, that makes all the difference. Okay. So there's under general, there's privacy.
Yeah, and then under that should be microphone, and that should be a list of all the programs that have requested the microphone. Make sure that they're all turned on that you want to be on. I would also try uninstalling Black Hole temporarily just to be safe.
Yeah.
But if the sound is not working on the input that you have selected, then there could be a hardware problem with that input. So it could be the internal microphone is either blocked or covered. On some of the computers, the microphone is near the speakers. On some of them, it's near the camera. So we've seen people who put like stickers or a sticky note on their computer with some, you know, useful information of covered the speaker, which covers the microphone. And that depends on which model computer you have.
Yeah, I don't actually see any speakers. The speaker outlet, I see, but are the speakers visible at all?
No, but the speaker grill should be. It might be on, the side. If you're running that old an OS, you probably have an older model computer, so it's the speakers could be on the side, not on the top, like on the newer models.
Hmm. I don't see anything. Okay.
Try Googling your computer model name and microphone position, and it will tell you where the mic is.
Okay.
But if your internal microphone is not getting a level, even though you have the level up full, then there's probably a hardware issue. I don't know if sound works in safe mode. You can try booting into safe mode, which is hold the shift key down. Speakers work. So safe mode turns off all the third-party stuff, but it might turn off audio input as well. But that's something to try to see if that will allow the microphone to start working again.
Ed, does the external microphone work?
Do you have an external microphone?
I don't have one.
Oh, okay.
So that's usually the option. If the internal mic dies, you get an external mic.
Right. Well, I was suggesting trying that as a troubleshooting thing.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work either, then it's probably permissions or the hardware, the sound chip.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And a lot of times... webcams will come with a microphone built in, so that would give you a better camera than built into the computer. Or you can also get a standalone microphone.
Okay. I think I have a headset that has a mic on it.
There you go.
There.
Yeah. Give that a try and see if it works. If it does, then you know it's a problem.
It's probably a little bit better quality, too.
Right.
Because, I mean, the ones that, let's face it, most computers, it's bare minimum.
Yeah, Apple claims the current models have studio-quality mics and speakers.
Yeah, and I
all of us in a studio say, No, they don't.
And I got a bridge for you, too.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, Ed, give those things a try.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, good luck. Yeah, I tell people, for Mastermind Lounge, I tell people all the time, use a headset with a mic. It you get much better, you hear better. And you have better sound quality when you speak.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no problem with feedback.
Yeah, because it's on feedback and echoing. Into,
right.
Okay. So using the ambient mic on your computer is like a speakerphone. It's
right.
You sound far away. You sound echoey. Don't use a speakerphone.
Don't use a speakerphone. What amuses me is the people who hold their phones... like, I don't know, like it's a piece of pizza they're eating,
mm-hmm.
and they're talking and listening. And I say to myself, you know they only do that on television so you can hear both sides of the conversation on TV.
Yeah.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Now, I will say most of our callers... follow all of those rules.
Yep. Yeah. Now, a lot of times, if you have headphones for your cell phone, which used to be all the rage, everyone always had headphones on their cell phones.
Yep.
They have a microphone in them.
Yes, they do.
And you can use that on your computer.
But one other thing, though, I have to interject here.
Okay.
Is people, yes, they, you know, they're usually good about that part, but what they don't do, these 77-year-old ears, don't hear quite as well, even with the hearing aids.
Yeah.
And they tend to talk softer with you two guys, not more than 6 feet away from me.
Not even.
Are trying to talk and carry on a conversation. They talk like this, and I can hardly hear them. Yep. You got to speak up.
Yeah, just because he's whispering.
Yeah,
he's whispering so your name doesn't come over.
Yeah, I mean, I can't be sitting there saying all this information, you know, who are you, where you're calling from, over and talk normal because these two guys are trying to carry out a conversation with whatever. And, you know, it could be another caller or whatever.
Right.
So
right.
Please just speak up. That's all I ask.
That's all he asks. Speak up and enunciate.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Colleen from Perry, New York. What's up, Colleen?
Hi there. I'm calling about my Raspberry Pi machine. I bought a Raspberry Pi 400 a few years ago, and I never got a chance to use it. And I had been trying to get it going. And it says in all the literature that came with it that it's capable of 64-bit function.
Yeah.
But when I ran the terminal command, you know, DPKG architecture, it's telling me it's 32-bit.
Probably. Okay, that's probably because the OS you loaded into it is a 32-bit OS.
Okay. Now, is it as simple as downloading a new OS and taking out that chip and sticking in a new one?
You got it.
Mm-hmm. Really? It's that easy.
The beauty of the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
Well, really any computer, but the Raspberry Pi is that you can choose any operating system you want and run it any time you want.
That's great.
Yeah, I know people who have two or three OSs on different chips and they just plug in the one they want right now.
Wow. That's great to know, because I wasn't sure about that and I didn't want to screw things up.
You will not screw things up. In general, the only way you can really hurt a computer is by typing with a hammer.
Yeah.
Or a pickaxe.
Or a pickaxe. Or typing RM-RF. Well, but other than that, no, you can't really harm it. So go ahead and play. Make sure did you use the Raspberry Pi imager?
Whatever is in it is what came with the thing when I bought it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So there's a program called the RPi Imager.
Okay.
And if you run that, you can pick multiple operating systems.
Yep.
Just make sure the one you pick is 64-bit.
Okay.
I have a Raspberry Pi 400 as well, and I love it. And I also run the 64-bit version of the operating system.
Okay, very good. It's convenient, you know, just being able to take out the other chip, because who knows, sometime down the road I might want to run some older thing that needs 32-bit.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Save that chip, you know, mark it correctly, set it aside, and anytime you want to run a 32-bit operating system, you got it. It's there. Boom.
The other thing, though, is my friend Jeff. He just showed me his array. He wound up getting this little stand that you can get on through Amazon app, and it holds six different hard drives.
Oh, yeah.
And what he does is he loads each a different hard drive, because they were hard drives just laying around the house. He reformatted them with his favorite OSs. And this way, he's just got them labeled. He could just shut the Raspberry Pi down, plug in the current one that he wants to work with, boot it up, and play around with that.
Yep.
Neat.
And just old hard drives that before were just gathering dust.
Yeah. And or you can do it with the chip.
Just it's faster with a hard drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's easy enough one way or the other.
Yeah.
All right, Colleen, good luck.
Thank you.
All right, have fun.
You too. Bye.
And I posted a link to the Raspberry Pi imager.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you. My Raspberry Pi 4, do you know that there's a 500 now?
That's what you were saying. Has it come out yet?
It is out.
Oh.
You can buy it on Canikit. I haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yet.
Wait a minute. Let's back up here. You had a 5. Did you get the 5 going yet?
No.
Then why? Wait a minute. No. Why would you go to the 500 if you
I'm not going to it. I said I haven't bought it.
Yet. Yeah, yet.
After I get the five running, then I'll take a look at that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so let me explain the difference between a Pi 5 and a Pi 500, a Pi 4 and a Pi 400.
Mm-hmm.
The Pi 4 and the Pi 5 are the devices you're probably thinking of. They're single board computers. That just are on a little chip.
A circuit board with a bunch of chips on it.
Right. The 400 and the 500 are that inside a keyboard. So all you have to do is plug in a mouse and a monitor and you're done. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 30 minutes spot on after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Unmember supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites.
And in a few months, we're going to be praying for 66-degree weather.
No kidding.
Although I hope the weather holds out this weekend. We're finishing up our 22nd annual Northeast Helicopter Jamboree.
Ooh, the Helicopter Jamboree.
With
fireworks and...
night show tonight around 7, fireworks around 9. And the fireworks guy uses a radio control... transmitters to set the fireworks off so he doesn't have to stand next to them with a match.
That's a very good idea.
I posted a link on our link list last week for the air show and the heli show. But
I'm sure half your people are trying to find the frequency so you can jump in.
Yeah. Well, thanks to Hedy Lamarr.
Yes.
Spread Spectrum Radio Frequency.
Yep.
Frequency Hedy Lamarr. Hopping. Yep.
All right. That's Hedley. This Thursday is Rochester Googles at the Olympia Restaurant on Lyle Avenue. And you're welcome to join us there at 7 o'clock. We will be having dinner. In the meantime, we will talk to Marie from North Chilai. Hi, Marie. What's up?
Hi. That was quick.
Well, we can put you back on hold if you prefer.
Oh, no, that's okay. Yeah. So, the Windows 11 saga.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. So, I have Windows 10, of course, one of the people that love it. And I have a very good, it's 5 years old, but it's a HP Pavilion laptop. It's working great. So Microsoft has been sending me emails repeatedly for a long time to update, and I'm always refusing, but now I'm feeling the pressure of having to do that. But they have not been sending me any lately. I don't think I've gotten any for a month or two now.
Yep.
Yeah.
They've given everyone a year's reprieve.
Well, yeah. Ish.
Ish.
But now yours, I do listen to your program most of the time, and you did say that there's a charge, and I guess I'm trying to keep things as simple as I can, just because that's the way I am with technology. So I really don't want to get into keeping track of, you know, a payment and this and that. I think I'd rather just go to Windows 11. On the other hand, I heard one of your callers say recently that he's going to wait until all the bugs are worked out.
Well, which they never will be. There's always every month they release 100 bug fixes.
Yeah.
That's the annoying thing about Windows 10 is now you have to pay Microsoft to get those same bug fixes because they're going to stop supporting
it. Right. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's step back a step. If you want to keep Windows 10 for one more year, you can do it in one of two ways. You can either pay $30, which is a one-time payment, or you can redeem your Microsoft reward points. How do you get Microsoft reward points? The easiest way to do that, there are a couple of ways to do that. The easiest way is to use Edge, the browser Edge, and do searches with Bing.
Or install the Bing app on your phone.
Or install the Bing app on your phone and do searches there.
If if I have already used Bing to for travel information, which I just did this week, does that qualify?
If you were signed in with your Microsoft ID.
Oh, no, I'm not. But like I said, I'd rather keep it simple and not. There's a $30 fee, but I wouldn't even know where to begin, how to pay it, or how to keep track, or do anything like that. So I would rather do whatever is the most simplest way to go with this. If I have to go to Windows 11, so be it. Oh, and so I might as well ask you my other question about this. So, you were talking about Windows 11 before that. The icons and things might be in different places.
Right.
That doesn't bother me. I mean, I've been using a computer for years, and you just get used to different changes. I mean, I don't like changes, of course, but if the icon is in a different place or all of them are in different place, that's okay. But is there some? What are people mainly objecting to? Is it hard to figure out how to use? For example, I use a Bluetooth. I have an old printer. I have files. So mainly I do emails, and I have a lot of files that I keep, and I add to them or look them up. So I'm trying to think what my user experience is going to be. And I'm the kind of person that I usually need help with changes. There's simple things I can figure out on my own. But if it's really, really different, then I...
No, the big difference is that menus are a little different.
The start menu's in the center instead of on the left.
Right. Which you can turn change.
Okay.
Yeah, you can change
shove
that,
it back to the left.
But the reality is that Windows 11 is pretty much Windows 10.
The bigger issue is, does your hardware support it? Do you have 16 gigs of RAM? Do you have an SSD?
Do you have TPM 2.0?
Yeah.
Let me just write that down, and I'll check, because I have all my paperwork about it. So it's the SSD.
Well, you can run it with a spinning hard drive, but SSDs are so much faster.
Yeah, less important.
Yeah.
The important thing is how much RAM do you have?
Yeah.
You can run it with 8. 16 is better.
16 is better. And do you have TPM, or the Trusted Platform Module 2.0? And it has to be 2.0.
Okay, I'm writing it down. So now, the fact that they have been sending me messages all along, wouldn't that mean that I...
No, they send everybody messages.
It's just a blanket email.
Every person who's ever bought anything from Microsoft, you bought a mouse from Microsoft, they're sending you
an upgrade.
If you click the Upgrade Now button, it will run the hardware checker to see if you're eligible to upgrade, but then it will upgrade you, so we don't do that.
Right, so what you can do is you can go to Settings, then Update and Security.
Okay.
Then Windows Update, and click on Check for Updates. If you can run Windows 11, you'll see an option to download and install it.
There's also...
Okay.
I'm going to say the PC Health Check app.
Yeah, that would probably... Yeah, maybe you want to start there. Yeah, that's a better idea.
That way you don't accidentally install it if you weren't intending to.
Right. So you can go into Search and look for Health Check.
PC Health Check.
Right.
Okay. Oh,
and I'm posting a link to it now.
Right.
Okay.
So that does the checks to see if your computer is capable and tell you if it isn't.
Okay.
And then if it isn't, then you do still have the option of keeping Windows 10 for another year. But at the end of that time, you're either going to be running a very unsecure operating system, or you're going to have to do something else.
Yeah, and that's what I worry about is the security.
Right, of course.
That's called time to learn Linux.
And let me remind you,
start planning
I cannot
for a
say
computer.
Strongly enough, before you upgrade, make sure you have at least 2 good backups.
Yeah.
For when something inevitably goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because if you have 2 good backups, nothing will go wrong.
Yep. People ask me all the time.
If you don't, something will go wrong.
Yep. People ask me all the time, can I do the upgrade myself? Sure, until something goes wrong, and then you won't know how to fix it.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah. 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 Well, there's always a shop.
Right.
But the thing is, yeah, then you know, you suddenly really need your computer, and then you have to wait until...
Yeah,
of course.
You know, they know when it's the worst moment to fail.
Right.
Yeah, that's what happens. So, okay, so I made notes of all this. Because offhand, I don't know what the RAM is. I think I've got pretty good. I think this whole thing got set up really well by Staples at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a big thing, too. If you're looking to buy a computer, overbuild it.
Yeah.
That way that it will last a lot longer. Get, you know, double the amount of memory you think you need and double the hard drive space you think you need.
Yeah. I think that's what they did for me there, but I will check on these things in my folder of stuff. So, as far as user... You know, when you go in, you said things might be in a different place. So are there other things that throw people off?
Mainly it's the look and feel.
Yeah.
Okay.
People don't like change.
Right.
And when you go to click on something and it's not in exactly the same place it used to be, you know, your muscle memory moves the mouse to here.
Yeah.
And it's now there.
Right.
It makes people angry.
Right, yeah, and I of course, I'm one of those people, but, but you know, I'm making the mental adjustment here to...
Yeah.
To
right.
To, now, if I did want to keep it for another year and I wanted to pay them, where would I even begin to look to... who to pay, where to pay, whatever?
I posted a link called Extended Security Updates Program for Windows 10.
Oh,
And this should be the second link down. First link down is check its device meets Windows 11 requirements.
Oh, there you go. You can just click that.
The PC Health Check app.
Yeah.
And that the Extended Security Update Program talks you through the three things you need to do, or you can do. The pay directly or use Microsoft Points, or buy a new computer.
Yes.
Is their option.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good. That's great. That's a lot of information. Would this affect changing to Windows 11? I use a little Bluetooth sometimes when I listen to the Audio Vault programs. You know, I'm a member and I listen to various things. So I use a little Bluetooth. I also have, like I said, an older printer. Would that change affect any of these?
Theoretically, no. If you have a very, very, very old printer, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, different question. You mentioned on, I think, the last show, not to put the computer into sleep mode. Yeah, you were explaining how that takes up more energy, or I'm not sure if I'm using the right words.
It's a catch-22. Yeah. You leave the computer on all the time, you wear it out. You turn it on and off all the time, you wear it out.
But I think that wears it out faster.
Yeah, the thermal shock of heating and cooling and heating and cooling can wear it out
now,
faster.
Now, what we were talking about last week was a desktop.
Yeah.
Yes. So I was going to ask you, what about a laptop? Because I only have a laptop. So, and I was putting in sleep mode every night for 5 years now.
Yeah. Laptops are better designed to do sleep mode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So it's much, much less of a problem. In fact, you know, many people set it so that when they close the lid, it goes into sleep mode automatically.
Yep.
And then, you know, every time they close it, it goes into sleep mode. Every time they open it up, it comes back up again.
Okay. Well, it's easy. I just click on sleep mode every night. It makes me feel better, I guess. But if it's not good for the computer, I won't do
well,
it.
Well, again, desktops are not designed to go into sleep mode. Laptops are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be okay with a laptop.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good.
Because they're designed, you know, let's face it, laptops are out, not hooked up to electricity all the time, and they got to conserve, you know, energy and battery life, whereas a desktop is plugged in 24/7.
Oh, I see.
So the whole thinking around the laptop versus a desktop in energy saving is totally different.
One of those mysteries that we don't know about sometimes.
There you
exactly.
go.
Um, And please remind me of the date that the Windows 10 will be no longer secure.
October 14th.
Okay, October 14th. Okay, so, you know.
So you have less time than you think.
Yeah, because suddenly next week is September.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, and that's why, well, because I listen to your show most weeks, I've been getting mentally prepared, you know.
Good.
Kind of bracing myself for this. I want to ask you an unrelated question also. You got a minute?
Sure. Yeah. No, we don't seem to have anybody else on the line, so yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This might not be too long anyway. I have a Frontier set up for my computer. It's my, you know, Frontier is what I use.
Sure.
But I also have a landline phone and that's what I use, like, almost all the time. I'm not much of a cell phone user. So they are calling me and leaving me messages all the time about switching to they've got fiber optics in the neighborhood now.
Yeah.
So, and I talked to one person once and couldn't really get clear information from that particular person. It's probably just the particular rep that I got. But so they have to come in and install it, and, you know, that's fine. And they said I could save money. This is very confusing to me, and I'm thinking, I know it's faster, which I don't have a big issue with it faster. I'm happy with what I got, but is there any reason not to do it?
Well, okay. So if you're still on a dial-up and a landline and all of that stuff.
Or DSL.
Or DSL
five,
or whatever.
5 megabit versus fiber of 1,000.
It's certainly faster to go to fiber optics. It also, fiber optics is generally more reliable.
Oh, excuse me. I'm not on dial-up computer. I'm on dial-up phone.
Right.
Yeah, okay, all right. Just want to make that clear.
Fiber optics will give you a faster and more reliable connection.
Yeah, right.
As to the phone, are they telling you you can also get your phone through the fiber optics?
Oh, I did not address that with them. I don't know. I'm a little leery because I don't want to mess up what I've got. I got a really good landline phone situation, and I have it hooked up to, like, if I'm on the phone, like right now, if somebody's calling me, it goes to voicemail handled by Frontier, and then after I hang up, I get a beep,
right.
And I find out that I have a voicemail. Everything works really well.
Yeah, all of that works the same when you have telephone over internet, except power. The plain old telephone system, we call it POTS, is powered by the phone system. So if you lose electrical power to your house, the telephone will still work.
Right.
Unless the local phone station loses power.
Yeah, that goes down.
If you get telephone over your internet, then if you lose power, then you lose your internet. So I have my UPS. I've got my router on my UPS. Power went out while we were at work last week, and my battery doesn't last long enough from when my wife got home later. So I don't know how long it lasted because I wasn't home.
Right.
Yeah. So that, a lot of people like keeping a landline because of that, that it's powered by the phone system, and you can still make phone calls if your house power goes out.
Yes, exactly. So do you think this will change if I go to fiber optic? I would ask them.
It depends on their setup. But make sure you understand that if you go to fiber optics, will they also remove your landline line?
Right. There's basically three services. There's telephone service, there's internet service, and there's television service. And you can do all three over the internet with one internet carrier, Frontier Fiber, Greenlight Fiber, Spectrum Fiber. But a lot of people like keeping a landline for their safety during power outages. And some people use an antenna for television. Your internet connection is where you would use fiber for the speed of internet.
Yeah, so, and I have Frontier, I have the internet landline, my TV is on a different, it's Spectrum, so it's different. So, yeah, it's, okay, this is getting a little confusing, but...
Also ask them what the cost will be to keep your phone as a landline.
Mm-hmm.
They are taking this, they don't want landlines anymore. And so they are taking opportunities like this to raise people's rates. I know a person who is now paying $90 a month for the privilege of having a landline.
Yeah. So they say you can save money because they bundle telephone and internet and television on one bill. So say $30 a month each. Introductory price only.
Right.
And so if you want just telephone, you might pay more. If you want just internet, you might pay more than the bundled price. That's why they say you save money.
I see. Okay, this explains a lot. The Frontier bill went up a lot, about $34. It went up in the last 6 months. I don't know if it was how many months ago, but it was a while ago. It shot way up, and I'm just like, what is this, you know? I do like my landline, and I use that. That's what I use 95% of the time. And I'm happy with my internet connection. So it might be slower than using fiber. It is very reliable. Now, I live in North Chilliwack. Somebody in the neighborhood website wrote that they live in Churchville, and they do have interruptions in connections, and they do have some problems with reliability. I'm not that far away, but I have never had any trouble with connections or reliability here.
Yeah, for you, it's how close you are to the D-SLAM.
Where the wire comes from.
Yeah.
Well, we have to say fiber, where the fiber comes from. The fiber wire instead of the copper wire.
Right.
But I don't have fiber yet.
No, but it's still fiber has to be going. Your connection
fiber has to be going by your house if they're offering it to you.
Right.
But
in your case, with the non-fiber connection, the reliability... Your reliability is different because it comes from a different local office.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Versus your...
Right, so there's a big line that goes to the central office, from the central office to your local office, which is not an office, but that's not either here or there. That's what they call it. And then it goes from there to your house. So your local office is different from the person... In, would you say, Churchville?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is a different local office.
Oh.
So theirs may have a problem. Yours does not.
Oh.
So that's the difference there.
Okay. Yes. The mysteries of this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I grew up in Churchville and went to school in North Chilliwack.
Grew up.
Grew up, yeah.
I grew up in Churchville?
Steve.
Steve?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so Ogden Telephone there in the middle, if we wanted to call, say, Webster, that was long distance, but Irondequoit wasn't. But, they're right next to each other.
right.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well... All right. Well, you give me a ton of information here, so I should be able to get working on this.
All right. One step at a time, Marie. Take them one thing at a time, one step at a time. Step one, back up everything.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. I have Norton, and it saved me 1 year when my previous laptop died. It saved everything, so it was wonderful. But I also have a backup gadget. I can't, off the top of my head, remember what it's called. So,
good.
I've got
all right, Marie, we gotta go.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Marie.
Bye.
All right. That music tells us that the Marie Show is done, and so is the first hour of this show. So don't go too far. We're gonna be right back with a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That would be Sound Bites. A whole nother hour of Dave Enright. A whole nother hour of Steve Ray. A whole nother hour of me, Nick Francesco. And a whole nother hour of you, but only if you give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. We're going to take a little bio break. We're going to have maybe a another beverage, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in a few.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Really? We went through an entire hour already?
What thing, though?
Of sound bites.
The other thing that we should note, this is technically our birthday.
Well, Wednesday, yeah. Wednesday, whatever the third is.
Yeah.
Is our birthday. Yeah, absolutely.
It's in between right now and our next show.
Right.
But what, we start 37 years?
Yeah, we will have finished 36 years.
And start our 37th
year on the air.
16 years at Jazz.
That's older than some of your underwear.
Yeah.
It's longer than
some of it.
It's longer than my first marriage. That only lasted 10 years.
Yeah.
We joke, I'm my wife's third husband.
Oh, well done.
And so, Joe, how long have you been married? About 50 years.
Yeah.
All together,
yeah.
Exactly. Well, that was a nice picture, though, you posted of you and your lovely bride.
Yeah, we had our anniversary.
How many years now?
45. 45 years. Three of the best years of her life.
And she still puts up with you?
She's a saint. My wife is a saint.
Ship.
And I've never denied that. She is a saint.
Me hunt, cook, clean.
For
30 lousy years.
But, I was scrolling through Facebook and that picture was up there and I go, oh, look at this. My wife goes, who the heck is that?
Yeah, exactly.
And then I tell him, no.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a beard.
Yeah. I was clean shaven for a show, actually. Yeah, I used to, back then, my face did whatever it needed to do for a show, right?
Yep.
I mainly don't shave because I'm lazy. Well, mainly because I don't think it's a good idea for me to take cold steel to my face before coffee.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That's the reason. But, yeah, 45 years. For us, it'll be 37 on the 3rd if you... If you love us,
Tuesday.
If you want to give us a birthday present.
No, Wednesday.
Yeah. If you want to give us a birthday present, contribute to the station. Do an extra.
Well, we're also looking to donations to Soundbites because, like you were just talking off air, it costs a little money to, save these programs up on that storage. It's not free.
It does. It's 61 gig of storage so far.
Yeah.
I'm saving all the stuff plus. All of the links to the shows and everything else.
Yeah, it's a lot of data.
The files are, that's a database, but the files are getting pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pay for unlimited storage at my vendor. So if you can contribute to the station, you can do that. If you want to contribute to the upkeep of Soundbites, you can do that. And you can see links to both of those at our website, soundbites.org. Scroll down on the right. And you'll see how to donate.
37 years. Holy crud.
What?
37 years. Holy
37
crud.
Years.
And it's 16 years here. That seems like just yesterday we moved here.
Well, exactly. We've been here 16 years and 2 months. And
it was June because we went with Rob. It was in May. We met with Rob at the restaurant there. And we sat down. And he says, all right. First things off, got a time slot open Saturdays from 12 to 2. When can you start? And we said June 5th.
Yeah.
I said, okay, let's order.
Yeah, that's pretty much the entire conversation.
That was the conversation.
Yeah, well, Rob had been our, he hates to hear this, our board op.
Yeah.
He prefers producer.
Yeah, the job that I do now.
And so clearly a job anybody could do.
Well, he used to run used to run seven radio stations at the same time.
Well, exactly right. Yeah, but that was at another station, and that's where we met him. And then he became the station manager here. And when we left the other station, he offered us this slot, and here we are.
And which was a bold move. I know we say it all the time, you know, during the flood tracks and that. But you're talking about a jazz radio station that plays music and a variety of music. And here, during the middle of the weekend, prime time, Saturdays, 12 to 2, what does he do? Plunks us into the middle of a talk show.
Right. And I will say that our listeners have been
outstanding,
appreciative, and they prove that by supporting the station during pledge drive.
We've been, like Steve said, we've been here 15 years. Hello, yeah. We must be doing something right.
Yeah. I always say that Saturday is the eclectic day.
That's true.
It starts with smooth jazz, and then polka, and then computers, and then German, and then Spanish.
Right. But, you know, it's great that he has done this, and it is even greater that you folks have stepped up, and we appreciate it. But
could say we're Greek, because some of this stuff is Greek to some people.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're fitting in.
The Lithuanian program is now Sundays at 9.
All right, thank you. let's go to the phones and talk to Dave from Canandaigua, New York. What's up, Dave?
I just wanted to say one quick thing here. The overbuild advice from Steve.
Yeah.
Overbuild it, like, way past what you can afford, and then go another 20%. It'll pay off in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My computer's, like, 13 years old.
Yeah.
Still runs like a champ.
A lot of people switch
to Linux.
Yep, yeah. A lot of people go cheap. You buy the $200 PC, you're going to replace it in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Yep. Something is going to break.
Yep.
I do have a couple of questions here. One, you said that there were two alternatives to continue the security updates for Windows. I thought it was three.
I can never remember what the third one
back
is.
Back up your settings to Microsoft.
Yeah, back up your settings. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Because I was thinking, you know, if you don't want to do that, maybe you could run Task Scheduler and make it keep doing searches. And you wouldn't have to do it. Let it just do a search every 20
minutes. Well, I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I do know people who have used the Bing API and written a little program that just does nothing but search every 15 or 20 minutes and have built up hundreds of thousands of
Bing points. Even bother to do that. I just installed Bing on my phone, and now I've got 1,800 points.
Yeah, it's all you have to do.
It notifies me of news stories. Okay, fine.
Yeah, right.
Now I've got 1,800 points. For the PC that I can't upgrade, because it runs my simulator, and two, it's not compatible with Windows 11.
Right. So for the people who can upgrade, installing Bing on your phone is probably the easiest way to get your points. But do it now, because do some searching, because you've only got a month and a half, so... I would not hesitate to do that right away.
So it's gotta be on your phone, or
you can put Bing on your phone, and you can use Bing search on your computer. You can do both.
Okay. Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. So October 15th, is this program going to disappear, or are they going to let you continue doing it until next October?
Well, you were able to use. You were able to accumulate Microsoft points before this.
Well, yeah, through Xbox reward stuff with my son. So you can use Xbox rewards to get other things in the Microsoft stores.
Right.
And so they're using that Bing points for... they merge together Microsoft points and Bing points.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my other question has to do with trying to get some computer hardware available for some people. I have some old Macs. I think they're MacBooks, and I'm thinking Linux. And I've done Linux on Windows-based machines. Is there any big
if they are Intel,
problem?
If they are Intel-based machines, and they are not MacBook Pros with that stinking touchpad.
Touch bar.
Touch. I don't care.
They all have a touchpad.
They all have a touchpad. You're right. The touch bar. You can put Linux on them with no problem if it's a an Intel chip. I have done that on a number of machines that have since died because of the. This will always be.
Doesn't it just not work? Always, everything else works except the touch bar.
Yes.
But you have no escape key.
You have no escape key. but if
so
it
you
does,
just can't escape. You're stuck.
You're stuck. But if you have a MacBook of a Mac of any sort, laptop with an Intel chip that does not have a touch bar, then you can put Linux on it without a problem.
You can also do Chrome OS too,
or you can do Chrome
if
OS.
Something even simpler if they're only going to do web browsing.
Right. Now, if you do have a touch bar, you wait until, I believe it'll be October or November. Linux 6.17 theoretically will have touch bar drivers in it. They're in beta right now and working pretty well, so they're thinking 6.17 will have touch bar drivers.
And there's also a Linux for Apple Silicon under development, too.
And it's on, yeah, right.
Asha Hi.
Right. Yeah. But if it's an Intel Mac, you can put Linux on it today, and it will run like a champ.
Okay.
Even before that, there were PowerPC Linuxes were even faster than Windows on Intel then.
Yeah, they were.
Huh. Now, the distro probably wouldn't make much difference.
Nope.
With the desktop environment, the XFCE is the most lightweight.
You need to worry about that a little less with a Mac because they've got, generally speaking, good graphics chips. But yes, XFCE is. But there are Linux OSs that mimic Mac.
I see one here called Elementary OS based on Ubuntu.
Elementary, Pear, and Zorin are the three that you should look at and pick one. You can pick one that looks. That looks very Mac-like, although they are Linux. They just look a little bit like Mac OS. They have docks and you know the themes are similar. The icons are similar, and they have a dock at the bottom like a Mac does. And so
maybe
yeah,
trick people into using it and thinking it's still a Mac.
Well,
I wouldn't go that far.
Maybe,
right?
I guess it depends on the person.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, at least it's going to be very similar. Those are the
There's.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to get some people to join me as admin for Google Workspace, and they don't even have a laptop. So this is there's a lot of politics involved here too.
Yeah. But try Elementary OS or Pear OS or Zorin OS, and you can obviously look each of those up and take a look at what the interface looks like. And you can download a live version and play with them, right? I mean, you don't have to install them. You can run them live. They'll be, as we tell people all the time, they will load very slowly because they're loading off a thumb drive and have to be decompressed, as well as the thumb drive connection is slow. But you can run them and get an idea of what the operating system is like.
Okay. I got enough for now.
There you go.
When I get in trouble, I'll get back to you.
All right. So we'll hear from you in half an hour.
Not today.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Look, when you have an old piece of hardware, you have
Mac or PC.
Mac or PC. Any old piece of hardware. Any Windows
computer.
Or Macintosh computer.
Well, PC meaning personal computer.
Right. You have three choices. You can throw it away. You can keep using the old stuff you've got, and it's unsecured and dangerous, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Or you can move to Linux. And those really are your three choices. And you know, one of them is good, and I'll leave it as an exercise to the listener to decide which one.
Of course, The fourth choice is what Microsoft wants you to do, is buy a new computer.
Or buy a new computer. Yeah, yeah. I beg your pardon. There are four choices. But in this economy, there are three choices. I say this all the time, and it's my high horse, but I hate it. The thermal paste on Macintoshes die regularly. And yes, I can replace them. Steve was kind enough to give me thermal paste and the right screwdriver.
Yeah, how many syringes did I give you?
Two. He gave me two. But the problem is you literally take the entire
computer
stinking
apart.
Thing apart, bolt by bolt, screw by screw. Every single piece has to come out to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to put it all back again in the right order. And it's not enough incentive there.
Tom's Hardware has an article on the best thermal paste. They tested 90 different compounds. 90 different compounds of thermal paste?
And I have done that to Windows laptops, which are much easier. You open up the back, you pull out one or two things, you're done.
Yeah, well, usually
Linux, you have to take it apart to the micro level, to
the micron level. The heat sinks are screwed from the bottom of the keyboard, the bottom of the logic board up through the top.
Right.
We don't have the little
On a desktop, you just take the side off leave it plugged in so you're grounded. And then just undo the clip that holds the heat sink on.
None of that is in a Mac. So
no,
I'm not playing with them. When they die, they're dead. I'm sorry, it's terrible. It's terrible e-waste.
Hand them down to somebody else that wants to do the thermal paste.
It's terrible e-waste. But there it is. But if you have an old Mac that is still working,
Dave from Canandaigua, would you want to do some thermal paste?
Yeah, right. if you've got a Mac that's still working but is out of date and you're worried about security, then absolutely give Linux a try. Again, you can download a live, if it's an Intel Mac right now, it has to be an Intel based Mac, but you can download a live CD, throw it on a thumb drive. Distribution, throw it on a thumb drive, boot from the thumb drive, and play. And see what you think. You know, it's not that, it's not rocket surgery.
The thermal paste is used between the CPU and the heatsink to help draw heat away from the computer so it doesn't overheat. So some of the symptoms of bad thermal paste are your fans ramping up and running really fast a lot. And the computer shutting itself off randomly if it gets too hot.
Right. Well, and that's what's happening. The last one I had, that's what was happening with it. It would run for about 10 minutes and then shut itself down. And I tried putting an active fan under it because I got a base. Didn't help.
Yeah, well, it's because it's so much heat.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, people don't realize the amount of heat that comes off those CPUs.
We can't call them laptops. Because
you can't put them in
your lap. On your lap.
They're called lap warmers.
I'm shocked that works.
I've got a passive thermal pad.
Yeah,
but you can feel how warm it is.
Yeah, that's I would. You know. Yeah.
Well, my CPU is only at 142 degrees Fahrenheit.
No Celsius.
No, 142 Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's not bad.
Mm-mm. Still warm.
That's not bad. It's still warm, but that's not bad at all.
No.
So good for you. That's not bad. I've said this before. I have a friend in Manila that I chat with over WhatsApp, and she'll say, "What's the temperature there?" And I'll tell her what it is in Fahrenheit. She gets this look on her face. Then she immediately goes to her computer to figure out what it is in real temperature.
Convert it to Celsius.
Yeah, yeah.
My buddy in Australia does that. We'll go back and forth. Because for like right now for him. They're in winter, coming up to spring. And he'll say, "So how's the weather up there?" We always go back and forth on that because of the big differences. But Australia, they don't get the winters like we do down here, up here.
Yeah, I read a story about tourists coming down to the front desk at the hotel and, what's the weather like today? Oh, it's going to be sunny in about 20. Well, how'd you know we were from Europe to convert to Celsius? I didn't.
Yeah, right.
So in Fahrenheit, 0 is pretty cold.
Yeah.
And 100 is pretty hot.
Yeah, pretty hot.
In Celsius, 0 is kind of cold.
Yeah.
And 100 is dead.
100 is dead, yeah.
In Kelvin, 0 is boiling. 0 is dead.
Yeah.
And 100 is dead.
Yeah, because you're not even warm yet.
Yeah, we're right now we're about 320 Kelvin.
I have another friend who lives in the Netherlands, and I told him the other day. I said, "What's the temperature there?" I said, "It's 68 degrees here. In your units, that would be 3 furlongs and a gill."
Yeah.
He laughed, and he said, "You Americans don't have any idea."
That was a question on the game show I was watching the other day. What are units of measure? They had furlong, so that's an old one that people may not know.
Right.
But the barley corn.
Oh, yeah, barley corn.
It's 3 barley corns to an inch.
Yep.
Which is the basis of shoe size measurements.
Yes, yes. So when you have 12, that's
it's not,
12.
It's what? Not 12 inches.
Right, it's 12 barley corns.
Yeah.
Right. All right, we're back to the phones. Our next caller is Will from Greece, New York. What's up, Will?
Oh, it's Bill, but that's okay.
It's Bill.
Listening to the lady about the landline costs, I just noticed this month that my landline jumped up about $20 from Frontier.
Yeah.
Is there something I can use that I can plug in that will take my landline phone, keep my landline phone number, and run it through my router?
Several different options you have. One is a device like the
UMA.
UMA.
O-O-M-A, or Magic Jack.
Or Magic Jack.
We used Magic Jack in the olden days.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're around anymore.
O-O-M-A, UMA. Alternately, you can get a Google phone number, and you can have them transfer your number to the Google phone number as well, and then that will also ring on your cell phone.
So what you're looking for is called a VoIP home, V-O-I-P, Voice Over Internet Protocol, and many of them let you plug in your actual old landline phones, so you don't have to give up all your phone service. You just plug your main phone jack into, say, the UMA box, and the UMA box plugs into your router, and all your phone all your phone calls go over the internet instead.
I'm looking at an UMA box on Amazon. If I plug that in, then that will I do something to connect that to my router, and then plug my phone into that, and basically I'll have the same number and get all my phone calls through that number that you're trying to reach me?
Yeah, you have to port your number from your current provider to the new provider, which used to be hard, but they made it easy recently.
They made it easy. Yeah. I would call UMA. When you buy the box, call UMA.
Vonage is the other big one for home users.
And Vonage is good for home users. Any one of those. You call the provider of that new box, and you tell them you want to port your number, and then you follow their directions.
Okay, I'm looking on Amazon. I don't know how I call the provider.
Frontier is your current provider, and UMA is your new provider. So you have to tell Frontier you're going to port to UMA, and then when you set up the UMA, you're telling it you're porting from Frontier.
Right, so you need to make contact with both, and they will arrange to have that happen. And UMA is on the internet. Steve can post a link to UMA or to Vonage, and you
just found an article in Forbes about what's the best voiceover IP for home users.
Yeah.
What? Forbes?
Yeah. Yeah. It's money.
Yeah.
And which do they say?
I haven't got to the bottom yet.
Yeah, all right.
Bottom line. Let me click on the button that says bottom line.
$120 box.
Right, but that's a one-time payment.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't have to make monthly payments. And will Frontier be friendly? Because the last time I tried to switch providers, the previous provider was...
They won't be friendly, but they will ultimately do it because that's the law.
Yeah, there was a law passed that they have to allow you to port your number. Remember back in the olden days, every time you got a new cell phone, you had to get a new number.
Yep.
And when you moved, you had to get a new number. The FCC passed a law that said you can keep your number. So now the area code of a telephone doesn't necessarily give its location anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what they will try to do is get you to keep your number, and they will give you all kinds of one-year incentives.
So in a year, you come do it again.
So in a year, yeah, you can do it again, I suppose. But you just need to be adamant and keep saying, I need to port my number, I have to port my number, I want to port my number. And eventually, you have to just wear them down. I'm sorry, Bill.
And that's the key phrase, is port your number.
Right. Port your number.
Do I also have to call Uma, too, or just...
I would call Uma first and say, I want to buy your box and port my number. What do I do?
Yeah, my guess is it's in the setup instructions. If you can, a lot of times on the Amazon page for a box, if you scroll down far enough, you find the setup manual.
Yeah.
And if you go to the UMA website directly, you can find the setup manual.
Yeah, this will eventually save a bunch of money.
Yep.
Well, exactly. That's the point. You know, you don't need to be spending the money that you... Well, and honestly, Frontier wants you to not be on a landline anymore. It costs them an awful lot of money to maintain landlines.
Yeah, they want to sell you their VoIP service.
But they want you to use their VoIP service instead.
But then it's a monthly payment.
Exactly. Well, isn't there a monthly payment?
Yeah, there's a monthly payment for any VoIP service.
Well, UMA will charge you as well, but it'll charge you less.
Oh, I thought UMA was just a charge for the box.
No, the box is a one-time purchase, but you still pay for the service itself.
Oh, it's more difficult. Okay, thanks, guys.
They have a special going on where it's free for a month.
There you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 29 minutes after the hour, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. But whether you call us or not, and you should, stay tuned because there's going to be a whole lot more sound bites coming on the other side. Don't go far.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Everybody get up.
What if I don't want to get up? Everybody. Guess I got to get up. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Andy.
Well, hang on.
Wait, hold on.
I want to make a clarification. UMA does have a free basic service available, so all you pay is the router box and plug your existing phone into it.
And then you pay your taxes and fees
every
month.
Right. You have to pay the taxes and fees. So look at your itemized phone bill, and you see all those taxes and fees. It's $6 or $7 extra. They do have a pay service with additional features, and they had that information on their website. And for business accounts is where they make their money. So we always ask, how can they give away something free? They got to be making money from somewhere, and they make it from their business accounts.
Okay, good to know. That's UMA. All right, we're back to the phones, and our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. What's up, Andy?
Hi, guys. About the UMA thing, Walmart sells the box. When I did it a couple years ago, it was like $31 or $32 for the box. It was a pretty good deal. You could walk right in the store and it was sitting on the shelf. You didn't have to go internet or anything. The company as a whole, the customer service was reasonable. They tried to take care of things. They were accommodating. You could always get a hold of them. Their call filtering was absolutely non-existent. I got anywhere from 10 to 15 bogus calls a day. And we finally had to just shut it down because my wife wouldn't put up with it.
Well, how's that their problem? People are dialing your phone number.
Well, they claimed they had something that would filter out spam calls.
Mm.
And it didn't do
just like Google does.
Just like Frontier does.
Yeah.
Well, Google, I kept them. They were very accommodating. They held my number for a cost of $2 a month for a period of time. And then I ported it out to TrackPhone and then over to Google. Google screens all the calls, and they shut down the garbage calls really well.
Yeah.
UMA does not. Unless they've improved vastly.
That's part of their premier service. They send your calls through Nomo Robo, which you can do yourself with a regular landline.
Yeah, and it just didn't seem to do very much. I was, as I said, my personal experience was we were very dissatisfied with the level of filtering or lack thereof, and so we left the company. But as far as customer service and other things, they were fine. The cost per month wasn't bad. I did a year, and they gave me a really good deal. And within 2 weeks, I was back, and I said, "Look, I've got to shut this off. You know, there's just too many calls." And they said, "We can't stop those." So they gave me my money back, and then offered to hold the line for however long I needed it, because I didn't want to lose that line, and because it was my home number that I had for 30 some odd years. Well, I moved that over to Google, and I don't get junk phone calls. Google screens them out, or if it leaves a sort of message, it'll come up and say that's potential spam. And I just mark it block, and it never comes through again.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly right.
And
but with Google, you have to have a cell phone to start with. It has to go. Yeah. It has to start on a cell phone.
Yeah, I did. I had a track phone, and I moved it over, and now it's fine.
Yep.
But it was. I did not have the best experience with UMA.
Thank you. That's good to know. Thanks, Andy.
Yep. We doing the lounge tomorrow?
That's the theory.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So the FCC keeps introducing new technologies to try to block spam calls, but the bad guys ignore the rules and just send do spam calls anyway.
Oh, so we've got that.
Yeah, we've gotten to the point where unless we recognize the number, we don't even bother answering the phone.
Yeah.
But even that doesn't always work because they'll spoof the call ID. The bad guys will spoof the call ID when they send in phone calls.
Yeah. Well, what I tend to do is I use my phone. I can do the screen call thing.
Yeah.
And most of the time they hang up.
Speaking of which, on the latest update for your phone, because you got a Pixel phone too. Did you notice the dialer has changed?
The dialer has changed. Everything's changed.
That's junk.
Well, it's different.
It's different. It's different, all right.
Yeah.
It's like,
different.
Where the hell did they pull that out of?
Yeah, well, it's the material design. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah. One of the things that I really like about the Google Voice number is that you can do it from your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I can make phone calls from my computer. So one of the things I've done in the past is for people, I have set up... I have a friend who is severely handicapped and cannot use a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so we set up the computer so that, you know, that would work. And the way we did that was we bought a burner phone, one of those, $15 phones.
Yeah, a cheap burner pay-as-you-go phone and use it once to set up
Because
Google
Voice. Because you get 5 minutes of phone calls and like five text messages or three text way more than you need to set up a Google number.
Yeah.
And we did that, and now they have a perfectly good setup on their phone, and they can use on their computer.
Yeah.
And they can make phone calls and receive phone calls
and open
all day
up the
long,
world to them.
And it opened up the world to them. And they don't, and they, you know, because they're on their, they're sitting at the computer all day long. They're mm-hmm. not, you know, so they didn't really need a mobile phone, because they're not all that mobile. This worked out fine. And for anybody who wants a second number or a third number, so for example, a business, you can get a Google Voice number and run that off your computer.
For text messaging, I've got a bunch of customers that back to old school texting is how a lot of businesses are running now.
Yep.
To text appointments, text reminders, text information, but you can't text to a landline.
Right.
And so a lot of people are getting a Google Voice number to send text to.
Yep. And it is free.
For a limited number of texts, and then if they think they're a business, they make you pay for...
Right. But if you're a landline, if you're receiving texts, you can get all the texts you want.
Yeah.
It's sending texts. But to receive texts,
the Google
Voice number works great, and it is easy and fast.
Mm-hmm.
And
it can be set to multiple different phones.
Yeah, and so you can have, you know, on your personal phone as well as on your computer as well as on your partner's phone or whatever you want to do.
I've got like five phone numbers on my phone.
Yeah.
Only one of them is the cell service.
Exactly. And you know, Google, nowadays, and I feel bad because, you know, nowadays you get the number you get.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I got mine, you got to pick your number.
You pick from a very limited range of numbers, which may not be in the Rochester area.
But mine was.
Yeah.
I mean, I was honestly, thanks to Jerry Seward, thank you, Jerry, I was one of the first. So I got the number, exactly the number I wanted. I was very pleased.
Is it
was
he like, still what, doing computers?
What does it spell?
No, he's pretty, no, he doesn't know.
Pretty much retired?
Yeah. That's like when the frog pond was running, I talked the lady at the phone company into giving me BS1 pond. The BS1 was significant, I thought, as mm-hmm. well, but the pond part was the fun part. And so, yeah, the idea is that you can get a voice number. And again, like Steve said, anywhere in the country, it doesn't matter what your area code is. I have a friend who started a business and wanted that business to seem to be coming from California for various mm-hmm. reasons that I'm not going to go into. But he wanted it to seem to come from California. So, again, this was early days for
phone systems.
So we bought a burner phone for him, and he set up a number in California, in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So when he answered the phone, you know, if somebody said, "Where are you?" he would say, "Well, as you can see from my area code, it's Los Angeles." That's not a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of Jerry's stories where someone called from like Scotland, and international long distance back then was a big deal.
Yeah,
and expensive. So while he's talking to the guy on the phone, he works over, you know, gets a local number in Scotland and says, "You know, next time you want to call, you know, just call our local Scotland number."
Yep, and it forwarded to his phone. So yeah, it's.
And then that guy passed Jerry's name out to a dozen other people in Scotland.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, we got this local company.
Yeah.
You notice I didn't try to do a Scottish accent. You're welcome, people from Scotland.
Have you seen the Scottish elevator sketch?
No. But speaking of people from Scotland, I don't think we had anybody from Scotland last week. But we had, you know, I pay attention to who, we have a setup that lets me know where people called from. It's generic. It's general. I only know the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the city, so I don't know where you are calling from. Yeah, I just
specific
know
specific location.
I just know X number of people called from whatever city, right? Last week, for whatever reason, normally we get a couple of people from a couple of places.
Mm-hmm.
We had people from Poland, India, Indonesia, Hungary, France. Germany, I don't even know where that is. China.
Germany? That's a country in Europe.
No, the other one. Oh, Colombia. It's Medellin, Colombia, for Pete's sake. We have people from Medellin. The cartels were calling.
Mm-hmm.
China and Brazil and Austria. I mean, it was, I was pretty impressed. Thank you. To all those people all over the world. I know that we get many, many, many hundreds of people all over the world who download the podcast. And we are grateful to each and every mm-hmm. one of you. And seeing you vote in the polls made me happy. I won't deny that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Which reminds me of something that goes back to last week's callers. Apple has a service called iCloud Private Relay. So if you're paying for iCloud storage, which most people are, Private Relay is available to you. It's not a VPN, but all of your traffic goes to an Apple server, and then from there goes out to the rest of the world. So it can hide your location from all the other other advertisers. It hides your IP address, so that
it's basically a VPN.
Yeah, but without the tunneling,
right?
Difference. So it can help hide your local computer from advertisers by giving it a random IP address.
Nice.
From somewhere else on the internet. And Apple says they can't even see it either, which is interesting.
Hmm.
Well, if they don't keep logs.
Yeah.
I mean, they could. I suppose they could see if somebody were watching the computer at that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they don't keep logs.
Yep.
And that's the thing about VPNs. We've talked about this before, but I'm going to reiterate it. Who do you trust? The people who run the VPN. If they keep logs, then they know who called who from where. And if the government comes to them and says, who went to this site at this time, they can look back in the logs and show you.
Track it down.
If a VPN does not save logs, that is the only time you are truly anonymous. So you need to know whether or not your VPN saves logs, and you need to decide whether or not you trust them when they say yay or nay.
And that brings up the issue that advertisers know you do this, and they are working tirelessly to find other ways to track you. There was a Security Now episode recently on all of the completely unexpected ways. Pervasive web fingerprinting is what he called
yes.
it.
Yes.
The unexpected ways that they can track you down. Your screen size, the number of fonts you have installed.
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of information you give out when you
yeah.
when you go somewhere that isn't just your IP address. In addition to that, places like Netflix block VPNs because they don't want you coming from another place.
In the early days, they encouraged password sharing. They ran commercials for password sharing.
Exactly.
Now that they're big, no password sharing.
No password sharing. And, you know, I have a friend who put a sling box in his parents' home in England so he could watch all his favorite British shows, which he can't get any other way.
Right. Oh, okay.
So he can log in. He can essentially log in from here.
Yep.
He can log into his parents' sling box and watch television that way, which I thought was... And there's no blocking that because it's that local IP address.
Yep.
So that's kind of... And it depends, of course, on how good and fast the international connection is, but...
Yeah. And the other thing that the industry is working on is almost all the data that goes over the internet now is encrypted.
Right.
And in fact, if it's not encrypted, you get a warning.
Right.
You used to get a warning when it was encrypted.
Thank you, sir.
Everything except your IP address and your DNS requests.
Right.
So the bad guy, well, the good guy, it's not the government spying on you, it's advertisers spying on you.
Right.
They know what websites you go to because the DNS lookup. So they know you went to apple.com. So there are new systems coming on. There's one called DOH. DNS over HTTP. So your DNS... Lookups are encrypted so that the other end doesn't know what you looked at to get to them. And so Apple's iCloud Private Relay does that. Most of the browsers are doing it now. Your DNS provider has to do it. And so Cloudflare is one of the biggest DNS providers and web hosts that can do this encrypting your DNS lookups.
Right, and it's becoming more common.
Yeah,
it isn't quite there yet. All right, we got about 10 minutes left in the show, so back to the phones. Our next caller is Dwayne from Rochester, New York. What's up, Dwayne?
Hey, I have two things, guys. The first thing is a resource that you may want to look at. The Banking Association has put together a website to instruct people about banking and finance scams. And it's called BanksNeverAskThat.com, all one big word, BanksNeverAskThat.com. Take a look at it. It's a nice site.
Thanks.
The other thing is I am a UMA user, and I wanted to add some comments. UMA, again, not only do you have to buy the unit, but you have to pay a monthly charge. I originally bought my unit through UMA, and after shipping it to me, I did the setup, they did the setup, and then I've been paying a monthly fee. Excellent voice quality, excellent services. If I got spam calls, I would log into UMA, and I would click on that call, and I would block it. So they do use No More Robo, but... again, nothing's perfect, but
Right.
If you do have repeated calls, you can even block them by area code. So,
wow, nice.
So if I knew that I had no callers coming from Texas, I could say, block all Texas area codes.
Right, right, right. Nice.
That was powerful. So Uma, the only problem I have with Uma is, as with most utilities, the cost was going up and up and up every month. So I took a look at my Uma bill, and about half of it was monthly charge, and the other half was all the stuff you see on your telephone bill.
Yeah.
Taxes, fees.
Yeah, you're never going to get away from that.
Whatever. So I was looking at other VOIP providers, and one that I looked at, they had a rather low fee, but you had to buy your own, whatever they call it, ATA or whatever, the box.
Right.
Like an UMA box. So I thought, well, I could buy the box. It's a one-time investment. So I got in line with this new company, and I said, how can you charge so little when I'm paying UMA this? And they said, oh, all of those fees, they don't apply to us. So I said, okay. I said, I want you to send me an email with my monthly charge for the following services that I'm going to ask for. And she said, certainly. So she sent me the email, and it was still a savings over UMA. So I'm in the progress right now of porting my number. And for anyone that is going to start porting, I believe it's most useful to have the winning or the new provider start the porting process.
Yeah.
You were talking about calling up Frontier and saying, well, I want to port my number. I think it's more effective to have the winning or new vendor start the porting process, because they will ask you for all of the info they need to go to your existing provider and make the porting request. So I had to provide them my last UMA bill, and I had to provide them other information so that they could put together a porting request and go out to UMA and get a date from UMA when the actual number would change over. So that's the process of porting, and I believe, you know, even though I'm coming from UMA, the provider, whatever your current, you know, provider is, they would go through the same porting request.
Right, right, right. Do you mind telling us who the new provider is?
It's a service called VOIP.ms.
Okay, thanks.
And on their website, they list devices that they work with. In other words, you know, you buy one of these devices, we'll tell you how to set it up.
Oh, that's really nice. Listen, we have only got a couple of minutes left, and we got another caller on the line.
All right.
Can we wrap this up?
I'm sorry.
I don't mean to cut you short, but thanks.
Go to your next caller.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks. I appreciate that. All right. That's a couple other things to look at. Certainly take all of this with a grain of salt, because everybody's experience is different. Everybody's situation is different. So please certainly take a look at these as alternatives, as possibilities, but don't take anyone as gospel. Your circumstance will be different. So be aware of that. You know, take a look at these. I like banksneverasked.com. I like that a lot. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Francis from Webster, New York. What's up, Francis?
Hi. I just calling about one of the previous callers. She was asking about fiber from Frontier.
Yes.
And I just wanted to know that I got it as soon as it was available in my area. And I've had no issues with it. We've only had one time where it was out, and then they notified you right away by email, and it was back on in a short time. And then as far as the landline, they're charging me $50 a month for the landline, but then you get a $30 credit towards your bill.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's costing $20 a month.
For the bundle charge, yeah.
Yeah, for the bundle charge, yeah.
And we don't get the TV. We have Dish, which I installed when we first had Dish, and then it got upgraded to the you know, whatever plan they had. But on an interesting note that I kind of got surprised by, I thought, well, instead of Dish, I think I'll just try a trial period of Sling just to see what that's like, because it was quite a saving.
Because Dave uses Sling.
And come to find out, Sling is owned by Dish.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And the interface, to me, is, and my wife took one look at it and said, no way.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so that was interesting. And also, she was talking about Windows 11. I have a Dell i5 that I bought in 2019, and at some point, Windows offered a free upgrade to Windows 11, and so I did it a couple years later, maybe. And I've had no issues with 11. In fact, when I first downloaded or upgraded, it seemed to be faster than 10. Now
it is supposed to be, yes.
Yeah, so that's all. Just wanted to give you some input there.
No, we appreciate that, Francis. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
And it's all based on your hardware. If you've got older hardware, it may not run as good as on newer hardware.
Right. And that goes back to overbuying.
Yep.
You know, if you overbuy at the beginning, it's going to last a lot longer than if you don't. All right. That music tells us that we are done for another week. Doggone it, that went fast this week. That's good. I can go home and nap sooner, I think. That's very nice. All right. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, who stayed awake for most of the show. I want to thank Steve Ray, who looks like he's still awake, almost. I'm Nick Francesco. I want to thank everybody who called in. Great calls this week, as usual, but an interesting mix of stuff. You know, we don't usually talk much about phones, but it was nice to break out into that for a while. Listen, we're here every week. So join us next week. Join us tomorrow night at 9 o'clock in the lounge, soundbites.org/lounge. And we will see you in just 166 hours.